Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Well, praise the Lord, and it is a pleasure, a joy, and a privilege to be back with you on another Blog Talk Radio episode. And I am your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing you the great tidings of gladness and good news that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And we came to bring glad tidings of great joy to you today through his word. Amen. We were talking on the last episode in terms of the fear of the Lord was the subject. And today we are talking about standing in awe of him, or stand in awe of him. On the week before last, on the broadcast and the telecast, we were sharing with you what the fear of the Lord is. And let me give you just a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about here when I say the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about being afraid of the Lord in that respect, not the fear of horror or the fear that means terror or the fear that means something terrible has happened. I'm talking about the fear, the word fear, the Hebrew word meaning to revere, or in our common vernacular, to reverence. This is what I'm speaking of when I'm talking about the fear of the Lord. And so in the Psalms, we talked about it, we came from the particular passage of scripture in Psalms 32 and Psalms 33, where the psalmist is talking to us from his experience. And aren't you glad he wrote down his experiences so that we would have a roadmap or a guideline to go by? The psalmist is expressing to us out of his experience, out of his very living, of how he had revered or he reverenced the Lord. And he says this, look, David said this throughout the Psalms. He said this in the very beginning of the Psalms, all the way to the last Psalm he wrote. It was always basically about praise or adoration or some type of uplifting to the Lord. If it was not a prayer that he was praying concerning his enemies, if it was not something that he was dealing with concerning his own personal life, if it was something, it was whatever it was, he included the Lord in it, and he made sure in some place in that psalm he said, praise the Lord, or either let's be glad or let's have joy or somewhere. Hallelujah. He talked about giving God the praise. And so we can't even record. There's no recording concerning what he said altogether about praise and altogether about our honor or our reverence to the Lord. Now, the reason why I'm talking about praise is not so much about the fear of the Lord, is because We use the scripture, Psalms 33, and verse 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Now, on last episode, I talked to you about the reasons why a righteous man should praise the Lord. And we found that out in Psalms 32, when the psalmist began to exhort us about the reasons why a righteous man should praise the Lord. Now, listen, the reason why David was in this particular mindset actually started in Psalms 31. And listen, let's just pick up at Psalm 31 in verse 19, where he begins to really get into praise. And he's talking about the reason why we should praise God for answered prayer, basically. He says, in verse 19, "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." Now, he says, look, the goodness of the Lord is laid up for people who reverence the Lord. The goodness of the Lord is laid up for people who reverence the Lord. And so with that being said, he says, "Which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." In other words, if you reverence me and fear him, I've got something to say. The Lord says, I have something laid up for you. And now he's saying to us, listen, the Lord is saying to us without a shadow of a doubt. He says in that verse 19, the psalmist is saying through it, "Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongue." Now listen, God wants to keep us. And there are some things that have happened to your life, my life, and everybody else's life. And with that being said, the psalmist here is saying these are the benefits of us who pray to the Lord, who reverence his name, and who fear him. He will keep us from the strife, or he will hide us from the belittling of men, or as I would call it, a tongue lashing for men, or to be, in some words, bad, evil words spoken against you and against me. God said, "I'll hide you from that." Because if anything, if you want to really deal with how people are really moved in this life, it's basically by a word we call slander, or somebody saying something that is out of order against them, or something that may be true. But the bottom line is that we don't have to go and broadcast it or publicize it all over the world. And in this day in society, that's all that our news media does. If somebody in the star of stardom, or somebody who's in the limelight of public, does anything wrong, I just call it today's gossip column. There's an entertainment show for this, and an entertainment show for that, and a reality show for this, and a reality show for that. And all of those things are about how we view people and basically what we say about them. So that's what the media is about today in this day and time. That's what people are about. But the psalmist is saying that God would hide us from that if we reverence him. And he goes on to say in verse 21, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me." The Lord has revealed to me, the psalmist said, "his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hast," listen, "thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee." He says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Listen. The last verse says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Now, in one case, the psalmist said, "I had almost fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He says, but again, I say, "Wait upon the Lord, and be of good courage, and he will strengthen the heart." Then he says, again, I say, "Wait upon the Lord." So the psalmist here, he's in a dilemma. He's in a situation. He was saying that in this passage of scripture, I see it in my haste that I'm cut off from before thine eyes. In other words, Lord, you don't see what I'm going through. You don't understand what's happening with me. Really? Really, David? But, you know, come on, let's be real. All of us have said that at some point or someplace in our lives that we just felt like the Lord did not hear us or the Lord was not aware of what you and I were going through. But the psalmist said, I said in my haste, is God really looking at me? Is the Lord really attentive to what I'm dealing with? Is he really conscious of how I feel and what I'm going through? He said, but I retracted that statement. He says, for verse 22, oh, love the Lord, he said. All ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. In other words, David says, you know what? I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to be unfaithful. I'm not going to be fearful of what's going on around me. The Lord has delivered me in times past, and he will deliver me again. So we're talking about reasons here why we should praise the Lord. Why should the righteous man praise the Lord? And so therefore, we come over into Psalms. So you can't just get away from one psalm and we'll jump to another psalm. All these psalms are connected, and I know that I told you on last broadcast that somebody said that Psalms 32 and verse 11 should have been Psalms 33, and it should have been verse 1. Psalms verse 32 and verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now listen, in Psalms 31 verse 1, it says, rejoice in the Lord, all ye righteous, for praise is commonly for the upright. Look, it doesn't matter which one of these psalms is in. It doesn't even matter. That's the tribute. That's not a great significance. The bottom line is, let's praise the Lord. The bottom line here, let's give God the praise that's due, hallelujah, to his name. Now he goes on to say, listen, in Psalms 32 he says, blessed is he whose transgression. I talked about this last week a little bit, and I want to just go through this one more time, and then we're going to get right to the place where we want to be. There are reasons why we should praise the Lord. And these reasons are because, number one, in Psalms 32, he's forgiven us of our sins in verse 1. He's covered us. He's forgiven us. He's removed our sins from us. He's blotted out our supposedly and seemingly to us the transgressions that we committed against him. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, blessed is the man upon whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. In other words, God says, I'm going to not hold you accountable. I'm going to do something for you by a thing we call atonement to remove the sins and the transgressions that you've committed against me. Transgressions are hidden of sins and iniquities and things that we've committed, the sins against God. And that iniquity of transgression is those hidden sins that we don't want to talk about, that we don't want to reveal, we don't want to be rid of, we want to hold on to. Let me tell you something, friend. There is no reason in the world why you and I should even desire to hold on to sin. But the bottom line is, the psalmist went on to say on another occasion, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So therefore, you and I, we were born with a problem. And you ever heard somebody say, I was born that way? Well, surely I can tell you one thing. You and I were born in sin. There is no doubt about it. This is without reservation. You and I were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But listen, God, I'm going to remove that stuff from you. I'm going to forgive you your sins. I'm going to cover your sins. I'm going to atone for you. And then he said, I'm not going to hold those sins to your charge. Now, that's the reason why we should praise God right there. He says, I'm going to give you freedom from sin. He says, I'm going to have mercy on you. I'm going to give you mercy when you should have been condemned, when you should have been charged with this crime that you committed against me. God says, I am going to ransom you. I'm forgiving you. I'm going to give you a pardon. I'm going to remove that away out of your life. Now listen, God has forgiven us of all our sins. That's without question. That's what Jesus came into the earth to do. So listen, in verse 3 of Psalm 32, the psalmist begins to describe himself in this manner. He says in verse 3, as he begins to talk to the Lord, he said, look, my sins have been forgiven me, they have not been imputed upon me, and here I am quiet about it. He said, I kept silent. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. Moisture is turned into the drought of summer. In other words, the psalmist said, my bones are dry. He said, I'm silent, I'm not praising God, and I'm holding back on what I've really done. I've sinned, I've misused the law, and here I am sitting up here in the mully groves. I'm just down and out. And I'm pretty sure this is during the time probably in Psalms 51 when he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions for my sins are ever before me. He wrote that psalm after he had committed murder and committed adultery with a murdered man's wife. He murdered the man. He killed him for his wife and committed adultery. And he committed adultery before that. And the woman who was a child, you know the story. And so he finds himself now covering his sin. He said, I'm silent. I'm not praising you. I'm not giving you any glory. All my sins are before me. And so one of the reasons why you and I can't praise God is because we have sin somewhere. Okay. In our lives. I'm going to say that again. The reason why you and I won't praise or cannot, will not praise God is because there's sin somewhere. The psalmist looked at it like this. He said, I'm silent because I'm sinning. I'm silent because I'm covering my fault. I'm silent because I'm holding on to something that's not mine. I'm silent because I'm in a dilemma here and I just can't seem to feel that you are going to forgive me for the mistake or the mess that I'm in or the sins that I've committed. Or the things that I have done wrong. I have murdered and I have committed adultery. And for those things you told me in your law, they are, the penalty is death. He said, so I didn't think you were going to hear me because I was already in condemnation that I was going to die. But oh, he said, in my haste, I said the Lord would not hear me. He said, in my haste, I felt like I was cut off. He said, but when I began to cry out unto the Lord, he heard my supplications and he forgave me of my sin. And so, therefore, the psalmist said, my sin was like a cancer. My bones were dry. Let me tell you something, friend. Your health is in your bones. As I shared with you on one occasion, the marrow of the bone is the reason why the body is healthy. And when that begins to the body becomes in a state of illness or sickness or dis-ease. And that's what he was alluding to, and that's what he was giving the illustration of. He said, my sin is like a dryness to me. It's like my bones being dry, and my body is not healthy, and I'm going through a change. And I'm going through dis-ease. I am in sickness. I am in horror. That's what he was saying. He said, I need to open my mouth and begin to give God the praise. Because first of all, he's delivered me and forgiven me for my sins. He's atoned for me. So now the psalmist is becoming sober. He's becoming sober. He's coming back to himself. He said, wait a minute, I'm the righteousness of God. Why am I going through this? God has not imputed my sins unto me, and why am I dealing with him in this manner? Now listen, if you're not saved, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Though this psalm was written to people who were saved. So for those of you who are not saved, you don't have an understanding or a clue of what I'm talking about. So today I just want to reach out to you before I go in. And Father, if you're listening to this broadcast, if you're listening to this episode, I want to reach out to you and tell you that if you feel that you're like this guy without hope and you don't feel that there's nothing that you can do, there's a God called Jehovah or Yahweh that you can cry out to, and he will forgive you of your sins and he will ransom you and atone for you. He's already atoned for you. He will ransom you from that sin or the sins that you committed. I don't care how bad they look to you. And if you will cry out to him, if you will call on his name, you can be forgiven, and he will bring you recompense, and he will reward you with the thing we call salvation. And that's why I am praising God today, because he delivered me. And this is why the psalmist is praising God, because he recognized that he was delivered. Salvation is deliverance. And so I am today speaking to you out of experience as well, that my sins were forgiven, my sins were covered, and my sins were atoned for, just as the psalmist is saying here. So my friend today, those of you who are listening, you're listening to me, you can be saved today. You can be saved like the psalmist, and you can be saved like me. And you can be delivered from the dilemma of sin that you are facing in your life. There is no sin that is too large that God cannot redeem you from. So listen, do it. Reach out to him and cry and say, Lord, here I am. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch undone. Forgive me of my sin. Somebody said, well, would that really work? Have you tried it? You've tried the rest. Why don't you try the best? The best is cry out to the Lord. You tried everything else and it didn't work. Try now to cry out to the Lord. And so salvation, you know, some people say, well, you know, I got to work to get my salvation. No, you don't. All you have to do is cry out to the Lord. He's already paid the price. You don't have to put in any job. You don't have to put in any work at all. You don't have to put in any time except for the prayer and ask him to forgive you. And do the things that are right before him and reconcile yourself back to him, and he will forgive you of your sins. So you don't work to be saved. You work because you are saved. That's why I'm working today. I'm working to tell you the good gospel news that Jesus delivers from sin, that God has given an atonement from sin. Now, that's a reason right there just good enough to praise the Lord. Amen. Listen. So the psalmist here said, you didn't impute my sins to me. In other words, you justified me. Imputing means that it's an act of God in salvation whereby he accounts the believer who becomes righteous in Christ, because Christ bore his sin, and not going to the New Testament, and because he has properly repented of his sins and met God's terms of reconciliation. I'm going to say that again. It is the act of God in salvation, whereby he accounts the believer in righteousness in Christ, because Christ bore his sin, and because he has properly repented, and there is a proper way to repent, of his sins, and he's met God's terms of reconciliation. Now, it's one thing to say we repent, but it's another thing to stop it. See, some people say, Lord, forgive me, but they keep on doing the same thing. So they really haven't repented. Repent means to turn away from and to. It means to turn away from doing wrong and to God to help you by grace to do right. So that we find that in Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 31, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21, which says that he who knew no sin, in that last verse, became sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. In who? In God. Through Christ, who gave himself for us, that we could become righteous. So listen, if that's not enough reason right there, these are reasons why we should praise God. So we don't really have an excuse for living in sin or living in the bondage of being covered by the thing we call sin. So now the psalmist is taking us through a journey here, and he's telling us the reasons why we should give God the praise. He said, I'm not going to be silent anymore. He said, as a matter of fact, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open my mouth. And did you not know that it is a shame for you and I not to give God the praise? The psalmist is saying here, listen, I've been silent too long. As a matter of fact, it is our right. It is our glorious privilege. It is our glorious right to praise God. And quite the contrary, it is wrong for us to be silent and to hold our peace and to be ashamed and dishonor him, because we dishonor him when we don't give him praise. And actually, what that actually means is what we're saying is that God is not big enough to take care of my situation. And so we become silent. But when we start saying, Lord, you are gracious, you are kind, you are loving, you are merciful, you are long-suffering, you can handle my situation, you can take care of anything that I go through and anything that I deal with as a believer or a righteous person, here I am. And as I begin to give him reverence, as you and I begin to give him praise, then things begin to happen for us. The psalmist said, first of all, he covers us in a pavilion. Second of all, he gives us goodness and his privileges. Lord, have mercy. Is that not enough reason to praise the Lord? Listen, in Psalms, so he goes on into Psalms 3. He says, praise the Lord. He said, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. In other words, you and I just have a right to praise God. My wife texted a friend of ours early on last week, and she said, listen, whatever you're going through, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. She said, we have rights. Hallelujah. She said, we have rights. We have a privilege. We have opportunity. And we have blessings from God. We have rights. He's given us rights. So now we don't have to stand in the presence of a situation, a circumstance, and feel that there is no hope or we are hopeless. God has given us rights through his word and tells us that he will deliver us in a time of trouble. He is there in a time of need, and he's always there to bring us out whenever we are in a dilemma that we can't seem to overcome. Oh, praise the Lord, friend. That great gospel news all by itself. Now God is saying to you and me, listen, he's saying, the psalmist is saying, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is coming for the upright. What does that mean? That means to shout for joy. Shout for joy. What am I shouting about? Listen, on another occasion I shared with you on last week, the psalmist said, clap your hands, O ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Listen, Nehemiah, in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, the Bible says when they began to read the word of the Lord, the people stood. And that was a time, listen, when people reverenced the Lord, they stood in the presence of the Lord. They reverenced him. And so the psalms now, these words are being read to the people. And my time is running out, but let me get this point in. Now, their people are standing before the Lord, and they are reading the word, and the word is being exalted by the priest. And God is speaking to them through the book of Nehemiah, you and me. And he says these words. The Bible says, and when Nehemiah had given adoration and praise to God, and Nehemiah 8 and 6, he said, and all the people said, amen. It is so. So what I'm telling you today is it is so for you. It is so for me. It is the amen. It is the apex of our experience. It is the place where God wants us to be and where he desires to be, and that is to praise him. Why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. Now, not only does he inhabit, but in verse 8, when we get back to that next week, the Bible says, stand in awe of him. In other words, stand in reverence. Stand in an assembly and stand in awe of him. Why? Because the people that fear the law, the people that fear him, reverence him. And the people that fear him are in awe of him. God bless you today as we close. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the righteous know today that they have every right and every reason to praise you. Let them be aware of the fact that praises belong to you. And to that man, to that woman, that boy, and that girl that's not saved. And here they're hearing my voice today. Let salvation become real today in their lives so that they can do as believers do, and the righteous, so that they can praise you uninhibited. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Look forward to being with you next week on another Blog Talk Radio episode.